Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, it's always great to get the perspective of the guys I call the wonks, the guys who like to put together the numbers, do all those things that I don't understand, I can't figure out, but it always makes for great off-season fodder. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Thanks for being here. As always, whether you're on our radio show, of course, the YouTube channel, subscribe below, and the podcast, we appreciate you guys as well, dropping that five-star rating and review. Kelly Ford of the K-Ford Rankings is here. Kelly, we talked briefly before we started the show, and just take me through the history of the K-Ford rating system. I know it's been around since 2019, but what was the purpose for you when you got this thing going just a few years ago?
Yeah, Pete. Well, first, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And I always love talking Big 12 college football. But yeah, the ratings themselves for me were really a combination of two of my passions. And college football is and has been my favorite sport for, quite honestly, as long as I can remember. It's always been number one for me. I've always enjoyed watching any and all college football. The Big 12 is so exciting because there's so many close games. That's why I love that conference. And then also my background and really my skill set, you know, in the real world is really in math and sciences. And so always had a knack for numbers. And so marrying those two, the interest and the skills together, created an opportunity for me to come through and make the K-Ford ratings. Like you said, back in 2019 is when I went public, but I really, you know, Bill Connolly and Brian Fermo, SP Plus, FEI, those were the godfathers for me. I loved their work. I took in as much as I could from afar. And after doing that for years and years, I was like, I'm just going to try my hand at this, see how it goes. And so been doing it now for, you know, 5 or 6 years, and it's going really well. I enjoy it. I enjoy making the content, interacting with people on social. A lot of people think I created it for betting purposes. That's actually not why I did it. However, you can use my numbers for that specific purpose. I actually do not, because I work in college athletics, so I'm not allowed to do that. And also, it kind of takes the fun out of it for me a little bit if I'm sweating out, you know, a Maction game on Tuesday night because I've got, you know, +7.5 or whatever, and they're coming down the field. I just want to enjoy the games, right? So
yeah,
people that do enjoy that, more power to them. That's not what I use it for, but it can be used for that application. That's certainly one of the most popular.
That's great. And you can find them on, of course, X at K-Ford Ratings is the handle there. So the Big 12, I want to try to mold this all together because it got a lot of attention here over the last few weeks. And that is the fact that the Big 12, per the K-Ford Ratings, did not have any game in your top 40 for the upcoming season in terms of watchability ratings. However, the Big 12 had three of your top five most watchable teams. So help me figure that out. How does that work where they're watchable teams, but not necessarily a must-watch game?
Yeah, so my watchability scores, which I've been doing now for 3 years, like you said, they kind of took off a little bit this year for whatever reason. And I can definitely explain, you know, why that occurred for the Big 12 specifically. So at a base level, the watchability scores have nothing to do with television ratings. I'm not trying to predict what's going to get the most eyeballs. I'm not trying to predict, you know, which executives at which networks are going to place which games in which windows. Like, that has nothing to do with it. What watchability is it's using my power ratings as the engine, as all of my content generated does, to really look at two things. What's the projected quality of that game? So I'm looking at the average KFOR rating of the two teams involved. And then also, what's the projected competitiveness of that game? So what's the KFOR spread of the game right there between the two teams? And so when you marry those two together, and it's unequal weighted, so it's not 50-50, it's an unequal split. I put more on the quality than the competitiveness. But when I do that, it generates a score from 0 to 10 for every single game involving an FBS team this year. And when I did that, the top 40 national games, as you noted, did not include any Big 12 versus Big 12 matchups. And again, part of that is because the Big 12, as of right now, in my preseason version 2 power ratings, for what the Big 12 is great at, and that's depth and a lot of really good teams, what's going to make for a really exciting conference race and a lot of really close games, it lacks in elite high-end talent from a power rating perspective. So if I look at my preseason version 2 power ratings, the highest rated Big 12 teams, Utah at number 18, Kansas State at 19, Oklahoma State's 24, Arizona's 25, Kansas is 26. So there's a lot of teams hovering around that top 20, top 25, top 30, but there's not any inside the top 15. And so to score high on the highest on the watchability scores, it's going to require a couple of teams that, or at least one, that are up there at the very top of the power ratings. Now, the Big 12 did, as you said, have a lot of teams that scored high on my highest average team watchability. So when you look at all 12 games across the board in the regular season, which teams had the highest watchability score on average? And you're right, Oklahoma State was number 3, West Virginia was number 4, Colorado was number 5, Kansas State was number 10. So the Big 12 was all over the top 10 and certainly the top 30 there, because what that's saying is I expect a lot of good, maybe not great, but good teams to be playing competitive games in the Big 12. And when you're doing that on a week in, week out basis, your average is going to be raised. You might not have those 10s, but you'd also don't have any 2s or 3s. So your averages are going to be high. And so that's what happened there. The Big 12 has tons of games in my top 80 nationally. They just didn't crack the top 40. And it was unfortunate that I decided to post 40 because that's just what fit the graphic the best. And certainly it caught the ire of some Big 12 fans. It was not a slight at the Big 12. I love the Big 12. I'm very excited for the conference race. I think there are maybe 10 teams that have a realistic path to Arlington this year, which is just crazy out of a 16-team league at the power level. So it's going to be great. But just, you know, candidly, what the numbers are saying right now, there's not really an elite team or teams from a power rating standpoint. That, of course, is subject to change, but that's what we're looking at right now.
No, and I think that's a totally fair analysis. Any Big 12 fan who's being honest looks at this league and says exactly what you just said. At least half the conference should feel like they can make the Big 12 championship game, which no other league can say. But when it comes to, you know, the high-end top 5, top 10 teams, there does not appear to be one right now. Like you said, one can emerge, but it doesn't look like there's one out there right now. So that makes sense. Watchability based on competitiveness across the board versus, you know, Georgia, they have a great game against Texas, but then if they got to play Vanderbilt, that's probably a 2 on your rating system. So that makes, I think that clears a lot of things up for Big 12 fans, Kelly. So I like that, man. That's good stuff. That's really good stuff.
Love it. No, that's exactly what I wanted to do.
So with that being said, I mean, you just mentioned the depth in this conference. I don't know if you have any data conference-wide, but is it fair to say you're looking at this league and you're saying this is by far the deepest league in America and the league that has the most parity to it as well? Or is that maybe a bridge too far?
No, I think that's exactly right. And if on my website, kfordratings.com, if you go to the projections tab, it's listed out each conference individually, and it's got the projected conference standings. It also has the team page, the team projections for every single team, all 134 that are playing FBS football. And so if you just quickly scroll through the conference graphics, which pop up first in each of those sections, you can see it becomes apparent right away that because there are no quote-unquote dominant teams in the Big 12, there's a lot of really good teams, and they're all very closely bunched up in the power ratings. It's really, really deep. There's no team. Kansas State is number 1 in my projected conference wins in Big 12 play at 6.5. So out of 9 games, I'm saying the number 1 team right now is projecting for 6.5 wins. That doesn't mean they aren't good teams. It means they're all really good here at the top. You go all the way down to West Virginia at number 10 in my projected conference standings at 4.7. You've got 10 teams right now within two games of first place in the Big 12. And again, over the course of a nine-game slate, two games is pretty significant. But right now, when no games have been played, I'd say any of those 10, if you want to make a case for, hey, this team's going to be in Arlington and here's why, I'll listen and say, I actually kind of agree with you. Now, here's why they won't be, though, right? You can do that for all of those teams. It's probably a little bit more of a stretch for the six that are below West Virginia there. But yes, across the board in the Big 12, it is the deepest. I do expect it to be among, if not the most competitive with regard to who is going to get those two spots. Because let's just look at the Power Four really quickly by itself. Go to the ACC. You know, Florida State and Clemson are the favorites. And then you go down, you know, Louisville, Miami, NC State, SMU, Virginia Tech, North Carolina. That's the end right there for teams that are within two games. The Big Ten is even worse. Ohio State, Oregon are the two favorites. Penn State and Michigan, those are the only other two teams. There's only four teams total within two games of second place in the projected Big Ten standings. And then the SEC, of course, you've got, you know, Georgia, Texas as your favorites, Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, Missouri, Ole Miss, A&M, Oklahoma maybe on the edge there, but the Big 12 in terms of 1 to X, their X is the highest number of teams that I think realistically have a chance to make it to the conference championship.
Now it looks like, and this is not surprising just based on some of the preseason rankings we've seen, but also based on your system as well, the Colorado hype train has not taken off in the K-Ford ratings. What is missing for Colorado?
So Colorado is such an interesting team, and I feel like I want to say that Colorado, they're building. What Deion has done has been really, really impressive. Because if I go to their team page really quickly, 2 years ago, before Deion got there, this team was number 125 in my power ratings out of, at the time, 131 FBS teams. So not only were you near the very bottom of Power 4 or Power 5 at the time, you were near the bottom of FBS for this program. Deion came in, overhauled the whole roster, made it really hard to project what this team was going to be last year. My numbers projected 3 wins. I believe Colorado ended up getting 4. So they exceeded my expectations. They certainly got off to a very hot start and had all the people in the predictive analytics world feeling a little nervous of, man, did we miss on Colorado? But water found its level. Colorado ends with four wins, I believe it was. And now this year, last year they were 72. This year I'm projecting number 43. So that's a massive improvement from just 2 years ago before Deion got there. So keep all of this in context as we discuss Colorado. What Deion has done is remarkable, really, really good, and he has it trending in the right direction. Unfortunately, the hype has gotten almost out of control yet again, 2 years in a row, where people are expecting something from Colorado that the math is suggesting is not realistic. 6-6, that's the most realistic outcome, the most probable outcome for this Colorado team this year. And I would argue that 6-6 for Colorado should be celebrated, should be a massive success for this year, going where they were 2 years ago, and the lack of bowl games that this program has been to in the non-COVID year of 2020, really in the last decade. So yeah. I think they're making great progress. The hype is a little out of control. People, you know, have them in the top 25 in EA Sports video game and saying we're going to get 8 wins. Maybe. I've got a 15% chance that Colorado gets 8 wins. The offense should be top 60 again. Certainly they have really tantalizing weapons at skill positions, quarterback, receiver. Like, they're going to be fun. But the defense last year was number 112 in the country. I'm still projecting them to be around number 100. So until that defense proves to me that they're better than the numbers are projecting, the model is not going to buy in fully on Colorado just yet.
Now, when you look at the Big 12, the last few years, there's been that team from the middle of the pack that has jumped up and gotten to a conference championship, Kelly. You had Oklahoma State last year. You had TCU 2 years ago. That was obviously a story that shocked everybody. And then 3 years ago.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh. Baylor was picked 8th in the preseason rankings, and they, of course, win the Big 12. So knowing the recent history of this league, does that factor in? How do you factor that in? And what does it mean for this year if we're trying to find that middle-of-the-pack team that's going to pop?
So this is one of the reasons why I love the Big 12, because, yeah, you just never know, and there's so many contenders. Who's it going to be? Kansas State and Utah are the favorites. You're asking how does it factor in? It doesn't necessarily factor in. I don't take the, hey, there's okay, historically in recent times been a team projecting in the middle to even, you know, the bottom third of the league that makes a jump and makes it to Arlington. How are you accounting for that, Kelly? The short answer is the model is not. We're trying to learn. We're trying to put as much data into the model as we can, but we're not going to be able to capture everything. So if I'm looking at that middle of the pack this year, you know, anywhere from Kansas at 5.6 wins to Arizona, Oklahoma State, both at 5.6 as well, projected conference wins for me. UCF is 5.2, TCU's 5.1, Texas Tech 5, Iowa State 4.7, along with West Virginia at 4.7. To differentiate between those, I mean, you could say this for a lot of teams, but who is going to have a good winning percentage, and I'd say close to 100, in one score games? That is what's going to differentiate the middle of this conference and potentially be one or two of these teams making it to Arlington, is who is going to be able to go 6-0, 7-0, 8-1 in one score games. Because I truly believe there's going to be that many one score games in here. And the law of averages says you're going to be around 500. Who can break that mold and really come over the top? And you got to look at the conference schedule difficulty. That's going to be another key here. You know, if you look in the middle of the pack, UCF has among the easier conference schedules of those, that group of teams we just mentioned. So they're one that I'm keeping an eye on for sure, even though I'm projecting them right now to be 6th in the conference standings.
You know, that's such a great point, but the law of averages always brings it back down to earth. But like TCU a couple of years ago had some great one score wins, you know, Oklahoma State in double overtime. I think about the Baylor game at the very end, they went on a walk-off field goal. They just had games like that. You can't, I don't know. I mean, I assume you can't project for that, although unless you say to yourself a team has a great year in one score games, they're going to revert back to the mean the following year. How do you factor all that in?
Absolutely. So oftentimes what you'll actually see, and I think back to TCU a couple of years ago, undefeated throughout the regular season, of course, lost to Kansas State in the Big 12 championship game, still made it to the playoff, deservedly so by my own numbers. Like they deserve to be there despite the conference championship game loss. They were power rated at the end of the year, number 13. So the model was hesitant to buy in fully to a team that ended up being in the top four of deserving rankings and resume rankings because of the manner in which they were winning games. The model was saying, this is not sustainable. This team is not actually as good as the record says it is. Now, from a deserving standpoint, and these are two totally different conversations, they did deserve to be there, and I'm glad they were. And then, of course, they go on and they win a playoff game, right? Like, it was just, everyone says, oh, they're going to get waxed because they're number 13 in K-4 ratings. Yeah, they are the underdog. It doesn't matter. That's why we play the games. That's why you need to get the teams that deserve to be there in, and it was great to see that happen. So the model is not going to account for year over year like that, but what the model is going to do is, in the moment, it's going to temper the expectations of teams that are winning consistently by single digits or in ways that the model views as unsustainable. Conversely, if you have a team that is losing consistently, and I'm thinking back to Nebraska, like in 2021, I think it was, that went like 0-9 in one score games or whatever it was. Like, the model actually said, this team right here, they're actually like a top 35 power rated team. They're getting incredibly unlucky on a week in, week out basis. So the model's trying to tamp down those extreme records in the one score games and really trying to drill down to what are the sustainable and predictive elements of how this team plays football? And that's what we're going to care about when we're projecting forward in the power rating model.
So with that, what do you do? And does this factor in at all when, like, the Big 12, you got four new teams last year, you got the four new teams this year. How does the conference realignment game of musical chairs factor in when you're trying to project teams in conferences they've never been in?
It's another really good question. It is difficult. And so it's difficult anytime you have turnover, whether that's on a coaching staff, whether that's with a roster, or whether it's with conference membership affiliation. So I'm not making any adjustments to teams as they transfer conferences. That's not happening, because everybody's, if you will, in a closed system to begin with 134 FBS teams. Everyone's judged on the same scale relative to the FBS average. So the fact that you're transitioning from one conference to another, whether it's up, down, sideways, whatever it is, that inherently by itself is not going to change anything. What that is going to impact is, who are the new opponents you're facing? So for the teams that are transitioning into the Big 12, let's say like BYU from an independent, or let's use UCF and Cincinnati last year from the American to the Big 12. On average, Big 12 teams have a higher power rating than American. So you could have the same exact team that was just playing in the American, drop them in the Big 12. Their power rating does not change. It's the same team. What changes is their season projections, because now you're playing more difficult teams on a week-in, week-out basis. So you're going to win fewer games. Your win expectancy in each game is going to be less on average because you're playing more difficult teams. So I'm not changing anything about a team's power rating when they change conferences, because how the power rating is generated does not depend on your conference affiliation. It is opponent adjusted, though, and that will inform what your projections are as we move forward.
Wow. Okay. All right. So this is all kind of a moving target, I guess. So this applies too to the, you know, Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC, USC, you know, going to the Big Ten. That applies to all of those schools as well, right?
Absolutely. It's the model is applied consistently across all 134 teams, because if it wasn't, you could say there's selection bias, there's just human interaction and bias into it. And what I'm trying to do, what anyone's trying to do with a model, is remove all the biases you can and just have an objective view of all of these teams. So I treat every single team the same, whether they're Power Four, G5, transitioning conferences, or they've been in the same conference for a century.
You referenced it earlier, Kelly, strength of schedule playing a big role now in the Big 12. The Big 12, as you know, up until last year was a round robin for the last 10 years. It was easy. You just knew, hey, I'm flipping home and away every other year. Now you got to look at, in the Big 12, who's got a strong schedule, who doesn't. So how does the way the Big 12 is now scheduling things factor in when it comes to strength of schedule and then playing that out and extrapolating that to projecting win totals?
I really miss the old setup where you got to play everybody in your conference every year. Yeah. I think that was really cool. And it also helped us determine, you know, who actually is the best team. Yeah. Now, at least in the Big 12, you got the 9 conference games. I mean, if you look at the SEC that has 16 teams but only 8 conference games, you are not playing almost half the conference. You're playing half and you're not playing half, essentially. And the Big 12, at least you got that extra game. So that helps a little bit. But it's incredibly important. I mean, it's of paramount importance now who you miss on your conference schedule. That's why for every single team, all 134, or I guess what we got, 3 independents, so all 131 that are in a conference, I include on the team projection graphic over on the right, in between your overall win projections and your conference win projections, which teams in conference are you missing? And it's interesting in the Big 12, because of course you've got, you know, Kansas State and Arizona, they're playing in a non-conference game. So I've noted that as a miss and then kind of put it with a gray background, because they actually are playing. Same thing with Utah and BYU, or Baylor, excuse me. And we understand why those things happen, but it's really important who you don't play. And I've also included on the projection graphics, what is your conference schedule difficulty? So every team has an overall schedule difficulty, but also what if you strip away all the non-conference games and look just at the, in this case, 9 Big 12 contests you're going to play? How does Kansas State's schedule compare to Utah's? How does that compare to Arizona's and on down the line? And so looking at that number is critically important too, because yes, teams that play a more difficult conference schedule are going to have a smaller or lower projected win total within conference play. Even if you're the best power rated team, if you play a more difficult schedule than the second best power rated team, it's possible that the second best power rated team is going to have a higher win projection than you do. And that plays itself out in the Big 12 projections as I look at this, because if I go back just quickly, Kansas right now is projecting 3rd in my Big 12 conference projected standings, but they are the 5th highest power rated team in the conference. Granted, they are just one spot behind Arizona and two behind Oklahoma State, so it's close, but Kansas has a higher average win total in conference play than Arizona and Oklahoma State because Kansas's conference schedule is easier than those other two teams.
All right. What is the thing, Kelly Ford, last thing that gets misconstrued, that you get the most crap about on social media, that people just don't understand when you're putting together your projections and your rating system?
So it's gotten better over the years, I think, as the following has grown and more people are understanding and helping assist spread that message. I've also changed my notification settings on X. I no longer get notified of a like, of a retweet, a quote tweet, or any comments if you don't follow me. So a lot of times these are coming from like strays, people that I have no idea who they are. They're just popping in to say something bad. I don't even see that. So quality of life is much better on X now. But one thing, and it's not so much in the preseason, but it's during the season when I post, you know, a power rating update on Sunday and a most deserving ranking update, which will now be on Tuesday, people not understanding what the difference is between those two. And Kelly, how can you say that Nebraska is the number 35 team in the country in 2021 when they're 3-9? Well, I'm not saying that they're ranked number 35 in the country. Certainly their resume is not worthy of anywhere near a top 60 ranking. But from a power rating standpoint, the predictive elements of football, this is still a top 35 power rated team. Same thing, TCU is a really good example because we talked about them earlier too. Number 13 in the power ratings at the end. Kelly, no way. They're undefeated. What are you talking about? Yeah, that's why they're number 3 in my most deserving ranking. So trying to explain the difference between a power rating and a resume ranking, spent a lot of time on that early in my time on X. It's gotten better over the years, but people will still pop in and say, I don't really understand this. And that's probably putting it mildly. Can you please explain what the differences here and how you come to these things, because those are two very different things. Power ratings help us look forward and try to project how's the rest of the season going to go. Resume rankings help us look backwards and evaluate, okay, who has accomplished the most this year relative to what would be expected if we looked through a common lens at everybody's schedule.
That is awesome. I love the breakdown. Kelly Ford, find him on kfordratings.com. Of course, he's on X, as he noted, although if he doesn't follow you, and you start spamming him, he's not going to get the messages anyway. So just leave him alone. Find him there at K Ford Ratings. Kelly, great stuff, man. Thank you for being here. We appreciate the time.
No, I appreciate it, Pete. This was a lot of fun. Thanks so much.
You bet. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Thanks you guys for being here. As always, subscribe on YouTube, on the podcast. And of course, we always appreciate our radio affiliates being here as a part of the show. Have a great day. Go Big 12. Talk to you soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.